This is the time set for oral arguments on the Northern Nevada Panel Conference agenda. The first case is Palomino Development LLC versus Jason King, PE Nevada State Engineer et al., case number 61002. Are council ready to proceed? Okay. Hey, go ahead, Mr. Lipko. I will
was represented in court that this is a rather common situation, and I personally... the court's letter that the condition of the green property was high safety. The state engineer employee who visited the site could and should have written a report of field investigation. We claim it is impossible to observe the condition of the property in the green without observing the irrigated field, which is which are in the file. In other words, why didn't the state engineer inform permittee or someone that the water is being used in the wrong place of use, or that the blue area was being irrigated without benefit of the permit? It should be noted that the surface water under 533.06 basically cannot be worked. That is true. Helen filed an application to change with the state engineer to change the primary or first phase water on the green area to the blue area. The state engineer approved that permit May 6th of this year.
Mr. DeLipko, I'm informed that the webcast is having trouble picking up your voice. You're soft-spoken. Could you speak up?
Yes, Your Honor, I'll try.
Thank you very much.
It is our firm and emphatic position that a supplemental groundwater right cannot be lost by forfeiture. We all know water law specific in character and nature, and must be specifically
followed. Can this court jurisdictionally reach the issue that you talk about? It appears as though this decision by the state engineer was in 1997 by a letter. As I understand the argument, there was no report of conveyance with the state engineer, and as a consequence, the state engineer would not have been required to forward the letter of decision in 1997, given the statute that requires or makes these decisions final after 30 days, how do we resolve the jurisdictional question here? Or is there one?
We resolve the jurisdictional question in two ways. One, via equity, and two, by via Alamo Irrigation Company versus U.S. By the way, I stated that that decision was rendered in 1995. That's incorrect. It's a typo. It's 1965. The state engineer has jurisdiction to cancel or deny a supplementary groundwater right under the law. He has no jurisdiction. His action is void. As I previously stated, the notice of forfeiture is sent to four other people who are not owners of the record. Mr. Walker claimed I own the water rights. The state engineer replied a month later saying, okay, here's what you do, and he answered this question. My statement is the state engineer had a high duty of care to send a notice to Mr. Walker. There are multitude of cases regarding jurisdiction, and they're cited in my initial brief, and that is just the fees are not quite the property, that official cannot grant it free of reports. Similarly, the state engineer cannot act incorrectly upon a point of law. That's jurisdiction. Yet it should also be mentioned under Alamo's litigation, if a clerical or technical error is made, that correction can always be made. In Alamo, irrigation of some 35 years later, when people caught the air, here in Alamo was the omission of certain language. Here we have a simple mistake made by the state engineer. As relied upon in the case, in the briefs in August of 1935, in ruling 4214, record 0011, state engineer Turnipsey stated, and I quote, "It makes no legal or scientific sense to force the irrigator to pump a supplemental well only for the purpose of preserving water right when surface water is pumped. To do so would be a waste of water, which is also prohibited by Nevada law. Therefore, a supplemental right is not declared forfeited because of its non-use. The state engineer finds that permanent compliance with the supplemental right and as such is not subject to forfeiture." What we are clearly attempting to state is that there is a distinction between a non-supplemental groundwater right, called a prime water right, and a supplemental water right. Generally, supplemental are used on top of surface water. We do not know if the state engineer is desiring this court to state that supplemental groundwater rights can be forfeited for 5 years of use. If that is the suggestion or the legal contention of the state engineer, then there's going to be all kinds of difficulties throughout various basins, the water, Humboldt, where supplemental groundwater rights are supplemental to surface three water rights. So to specifically answer your question, Your Honor, I'm saying that the jurisdictional issue lies in the fact that the state engineer issued an order or ruling beyond his statutory authority. As such, that act or order is void.
Was the communication by Walker with the state engineer before or after that letter?
To my knowledge, there's been no contact or information by Mr. Walker to the state engineer or vice versa after the state engineer's letter. The letter came before the declaration of order. Equity. Generally, equity plays no part in the water rights matters. However, this court on prior decisions in the First National case, the Bailey case, Engelman case has said that on occasion the authority or jurisdiction of the courts is to do equity when required. Preferred equities defines the principle laid down by the three prior cases by saying before equity can even be considered by the courts, the water must first be placed to the beneficial use, which is the case. Point of being repetition, the water was placed to a beneficial use on wrong parcel of real property. As can be seen by the map, they're less than 1/4 of a mile apart and can readily be observed by coming in from the north. Again, Alamo Irrigation Company, 1965 case, errors can always be corrected by the court when necessary. Also cited in our brief are some principles that government officials have a high duty to do outreach by under circumstances and not proceed blindly following the strict letter of the law, ignoring facts or circumstances before them. This time I'd like to reserve the rest of my time. 12 seconds. I'll amend that request in saying that in light of the fact the state engineer granted the surface water to put it back on the blue area, we are requesting this work so we overturn the district court order and the state engineer letter ruling and reinstate permit 13-6-3 with the provision that the permittee appellate
thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Brian Stockton, Senior Deputy Attorney General, representing the Nevada State Engineer. I'd like to note the clock is not working here. I don't know if I use up all my time. The essence of this case is, as the question was asked, Justice Tarsi, is that it's an appeal of a forfeiture that happened 14 years before the appeal was taken. In 1997, the state engineer declared these water rights forfeited, and in 14 years later, the Council for Palomino wrote a letter to the state engineer suggesting that the water rights should never have been forfeited. And all the state engineer did was answer that letter and say, no, those were forfeited 14 years ago and no appeal was taken. And that was the letter that was appealed in this case. So it's our position that a simple letter informing a water right holder that a decision has been made in the past and final is not an appealable order or decision of the state engineer under NRS 533-450. Because the result of that, obviously, in water law would be a total lack of finality in any decision that the state engineer makes. If I have an appeal period, I don't appeal in time, all I have to do under the reasoning here is just sell my water right, have the new water right holder write a letter and take in any of the water rights. And so,
what about the argument under, he cited the Alamo case, that at any time the errors can be corrected by the court if there was an error?
I apologize, I didn't reread the Alamo case. I neglected to do that. But I think the errors are only correctable by the court if they're jurisdictional errors. This court has always said in every context, in every administrative context, for filing an appeal with the jurisdiction commanded. Therefore, if the state engineer obviously made an unconstitutional act or did something, there was ultra virus, then the court would obviously have the power to correct that either in equity or in foreign law. But that's not the case here. The letter from Mr. Walker was in 1990, and that was at least 6 years prior to water rights were forfeited in 1997, but a year earlier, the same state engineer sent out the required notice of 4 years of non-use to the record owner. And Mr. Walker had never filed any report of conveyance to put on record in the state engineer that these were just water rights. And the state engineer, I don't know how many permits were outstanding back then, but in this last week, the state engineer signed permit number 84,000. So we've got less than 100 employees to monitor 84,000 water rights. And so Mr. DeLipko's assertion that all he had to do was flip a few pages is the reason behind the legislature's change to NRS 533-384-1A, where they said the state engineer will only treat as the owner of record the person that's the owner of record in the files of the state engineer. And this court upheld in the Department of Conservation and Resources versus Foley. The state engineer didn't have to go down to the county and check the deeds to see who the owner might be at a certain point. So he can rely on the report. Now, the other thing that happens here is by rescinding the forfeiture, you create basically a market. And we argue this in the district court. So you create create a market for forfeited water rights, which are worth next to nothing. But if I can go out, buy this water right, buy the limit that's stated here, and make it into a real water right, then you create a market for forfeited water rights that you can use up that buy directly. Basically, what happens is the state engineer, when he looks at a basin to see whether to appropriate water, he looks at the water that's already appropriated. So as you've heard in many cases, forfeited water rights cannot show up in that balance sheet. And so the state engineer looks at how much is appropriated, he looks at the perennial yield, and decides whether or not new appropriation can be granted. But the forfeited water rights don't show up. And so if the state engineer has already appropriated water, when forfeited water rights get revived, then that raises the level of water that's appropriated in the basin. In the interest of full disclosure, supplemental water rights are discounted when considering the perennial yield. So because what Mr. Glico said, you have a supplemental water right, you're supposed to use your primary water right first, and then your supplemental.
Can you address the equitable argument here, assuming we all get past the jurisdictional issue? It's an interesting argument that there was a mistake made, a clerical mistake, and perhaps we ought to consider that.
Okay, just to clarify, are you talking about the assertion that they should have notified Mr. Walker?
Actually, yeah, and also that it was... on a different piece of property, there was beneficial use made of that.
Here's the problem. They're arguing that Palomino made beneficial use of this water on the quote wrong property.
Right.
And our assertion is no, that was illegal use of water without a water. Now, I get the colors from this, so I apologize. Blue property, which is what Palomino owns, has a well. And they can use, they do have a domestic water right there where they water to inside the dwelling and then into water regarding for 2 acre feet. So that water use is allowed, even if we prevail in this case. Okay, so they did have up to 2 acre feet. The use on the blue property, since it didn't have a water right, was illegal. And as Mr. Glico says, once the state engineer found out they were using water, he told them to stop, and they did stop. Now here's the problem with that argument. These water rights were not used for at least 5 years prior to 1997, and the evidence in the record says it was a lot longer than that. But at least for those 5 years prior to 1997, none were used. Palomino didn't obtain the water until 2000, and so they couldn't even use water until after 2000. So even on the blue property, and our position is that's an illegal use. Once the engineer found out about it, he asked them to stop using it. It's not a use on the wrong piece of property, and which I knew how much time I had left.
8 minutes and 3 seconds.
Thank you. Mr. Glico's argument that it happens on farms and golf courses is correct. But what happens is that is still an illegal use, and those are still valid water rights. So what the state engineer does is he goes to the person, the farmer or whatever, says, no, you're not allowed to use water here. You have to stop that. And then what they do, if those water rights are still valid, they can file a change application to move the water from where it's supposed to be to where they want to use the water. And at the risk of being too complex, what the state is trying to move towards in a lot of cases is to the entire farm becomes the place to use for the water rights. The farmer can move his water around on his property without having change application. That's done with mines and other projects, municipalities, where the entire place, the entire area that they serve is the place of use for the water. So that's how we're trying to correct that problem. But that doesn't apply here, where you take water from a parcel, forfeited water from a parcel down the road that you don't own, and you just start pumping water and say, oh no, this is our use of that water. It's just a mistake for your use here. That is not. That is the illegal use of water in our position.
So it is your position that supplemental water rights are subject to forfeiture for non-use after 5 years?
Correct. Correct. However, that in a very narrow factual circumstance.
Well, let's go through that analysis, particularly in the context of 534.091.
Okay, so Mr. DeLisco says supplemental water rights are not a statutory term that appears, doesn't appear in the statute. So supplemental water rights are granted on the basis that you're going to use your full surface water right and then make up the difference for your beneficial use out of the groundwater. So they're not used, they're not supposed to be used every year that surface water is available. So on a property that's using its surface water, the fact that they're not using the groundwater rights is inconsequential. The state engineer doesn't count that against as a non-use of water because they're making full beneficial use of their water on the property. They just don't happen to need the groundwater. In this case, the diversion ditch that brings the water around the ridge from Paiute Creek over to the property it's pertinent to is in total disrepair and has been for many, many years, at least 25 years as far as I can tell from the record. And there is no way a drop of water can get from Paiute Creek to this property. And so in essence, when Palomino started pumping this water again, they were pumping a primary right because they weren't using the surface water right. They can't even get the surface water right over to this property. And so that's the narrow circumstance of this case where a supplemental water right can, there is another scenario.
Go ahead, continue. You have five more minutes.
To finish this scenario, so the situation that we have factually here where the surface water delivery system is in such disrepair that there's no possible way to use the surface water, and the groundwater rights are not used for in excess of 5 years, that's the scenario where the state engineer would forfeit the water rights, and that's what happened here. Whereas the person who's using their surface water rights, the state engineer, so does that make it clear? And there's another situation that appears in the record where if you transfer your surface water rights to another property, you can't then use your groundwater rights as a primary right. Because you're entitled to 4 acre feet of water per year, you transferred your 4 acre feet of surface water, so you can't use those groundwater rights to irrigate that property.
I appreciate the analysis. What I'm struggling with is how supplemental groundwater rights are forfeited for non-use after 5 years when that term isn't used in the water law.
Well, they're groundwater rights, so they're forfeited as groundwater.
Regardless.
590 says any groundwater rights. Sorry.
Regardless of whether they're supplemental.
Correct. But in the case of supplemental.
But that rights, seems odd when. The supplemental rights are not being used at all for extended periods of time when it isn't necessary to use them.
Well, beneficial use, as we talked about earlier, is the basis measure and limit of the water right. So if you're getting all the water right you need from the surface water, you don't need the groundwater. And so non-use is not really a non-use of water because that's the use it's there for, it's supplemental. You only use it if you need it. That's why those are discounted when the state engineer looks at the drain field of the basin to see if all the water is appropriated yet.
So it would be the position of the state engineer that if a party is utilizing their primary water rights to their full extent and haven't used or don't need to use the supplemental water rights, they're not in jeopardy of forfeiture, but they are able to call on them, say, for example, for supplemental irrigation. Or a drought.
Correct. And that's their purpose, and that's why they're looked at as being a lesser amount of water because they're used as far as the fully appropriate basin. Because they're only used when they're absolutely needed. So
well, has
not
this
using your surface water and not using your groundwater, that's non-use, and that is what the state did in this case, and that's why the water is supported.
Your primary point, though, is that the letter in 97 was final. This court lacks jurisdiction. Mr. DeLipko's response, though, is that that letter necessarily involves an analysis of the merits of this case, and if we conclude that the forfeiture of supplemental rights is not appropriate, the letter's void, we can still examine this question. What is your response to that?
My response is that wish I could remember the quotation. I don't have it with me. There's a case that says something like, you know, if we mark the procedure every time somebody blows it and makes a good, or every time somebody makes a mistake and doesn't appeal, then those statutes of limitations have absolutely no meaning. And I can supplement the record if you'd like. But that's the point. If you ignore the procedure every time somebody comes up with a good argument like this, then the procedure means nothing. And we'll be back here on every decision that anyone makes. And so that's my response to that. Would you like to supplement the record?
We'll let you know if that's necessary. I'm not sure that it will be. We have some considerable additional research available to us right now on this point.
Do I have any time?
You have 39 seconds.
Let me real quick make a policy argument in regards to equity, the use of the court's equity. What I'd like to state is when the state engineer looks at an appropriation, he has to satisfy NRS 533-3772. Which says that he can't grant the water right if it's going to conflict with existing rights. And so what I would ask the court to do is maybe if you do decide to use your equitable jurisdiction, to look at that statute and say, okay, we need to establish some criteria for the district courts to apply when they consider equity. And this conflict with existing rights, in this case, should include the junior rights, junior to this particular water right. Because what's going to happen is,
go ahead and finish your thought, sir.
All right, you've got all these junior water right holders that have been using their water rights property, and those are existing water rights. Now when you unforfeit this right, it jumps up into a senior position. And so I would like to suggest to the court that you consider those junior water rights and consider whether or not reestablishing this senior right through equity will cause an over-appropriation in the basin. In other words, the pumping will exceed. I'm citing 533-3772
by analogy. Do you have any questions? I do have one other. Has the state engineer reviewed its records to see how many other cases there are where these supplemental rights have been forfeited several years ago and this issue may come about in other cases?
We haven't, but I would guess that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions by my colleagues?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
There is one similar case pending in Winnemucca, but it's actually slightly different, but not.
Uh-huh. Well, we'd like to thank counsel for their excellent arguments and their briefs in this matter. The case will stand submitted. We appreciate your input. The court will stand in recess for just a few minutes. It's necessary to repair the microphones, I guess, at the podium in order to continue the webcast. So it'll allow counsel to change for the next case, and we'll reconvene in a few minutes.